right, we're ready to rock. Here we go.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com. You're listening to Keep It Magic Radio. Are you ready to make some magic? Jackie and Storm are putting the pieces together for you. Find out what planets are changing the game and how to harness that energy. Get the latest metaphysical perspective on hot topics. Learn how to make magic work for you. Nothing is too hot or personal for Jackie and Storm to handle. Visit our website weekly for articles, updates, and the latest information to transform your life at www.keepitmagic.com. Now here is Jackie Smith and Storm Sestavani.
Well, hey everybody, here is I am in Keep It Magic Radio, and this is Jackie Smith, and I'm with my amazing co-host, Storm Sestavani, the smartest man in the world.
Oh, holla. I'm not worthy.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com, my favorite candle company, because you know we always have a candle for that, no matter what your problem is. And we got a lot of problems there, don't we, Storm?
Yeah.
Well, while you're on the internet, while you're tooling around and listening to us and looking at this beautiful screen in front of you, take a second and run over to keepitmagic.com. We've got a brand new site, nice and slick, lots of good stuff to look at. All the bugs have been worked out easy with tons of information and ways to get in touch with Storm and myself. So go to keepitmagic.com. You can also find us on Facebook on Keepin' It Magic. And you can find us on Twitter and Keep It Magic. And, Lord, if there's one thing we know how to do, it's keep it magic.
Yeah.
That is just a phrase.
We have too much fun doing this podcast.
We do. We do. I still call it a radio show. It's okay. I'll get through it. A couple more months. So 2 weeks ago, Storm, we talked a lot about Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a lot about having cleaning your slate, pardon me, and we have a beautiful ritual on there to work on. So hopefully everybody's doing that. If not, with the Coventry candles, just do it on your own. Just go through the process. So if you haven't listened to that, it's never too late to start because it's a great show. It's a great ritual to do for yourself no matter what time of the year. So hit last week's show, of course, once you're 2 weeks ago show, once you're done with this one, of course. But the big thing that brought to mind, Storm, is in going through that, is how difficult it is to feel grateful when you're not in the middle of things going good.
Mm-hmm.
And September is, we wanted to talk about gratitude in the month of September, and one of the reasons why we want to talk about it is I was feeling really, really challenged in August.
Well, I think that August should be called the month of self-created plagues. Just saying.
It just so happens to also be our birth month.
Yeah.
Collectively, both of us, with you being a Leo and myself being a Virgo.
Yeah.
And was August a difficult month for you? Or was it all me?
No, it was a pretty difficult month for me. You know, I let the Satan grab control for maybe 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, you know, I was off and running. And, you know, I was basically, you know, one of the experiences that I had, Jackie, was that I had fallen, you know, I had done something, you know, not anything shocking or horrible or bad or anything of that nature. You know, I did a media appearance, and it brought up a lot of my issues from 3 years ago. And instantly, I was back into that particular mindset for like 5 minutes, and I was starting to feel a little bit anxious. And, you know, the thing that I have that I am grateful for is that it lasted for 5 minutes. I was able to get on the phone and say, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling anxiety. This is why. You know, I was able to, you know, being in recovery for hypomania, it's especially tricky for me because it can, you know, I can be the Mata Hari next week on a whole complete, you know, manic spree. But, you know, having that particular gratitude, Jackie, that there's people in my life that I can trust and say, hey, I'm feeling anxious right now. My problem with anxiety is this, is it could be a precursor to hypomania. It was not. but it could be a precursor to hypomania. So I just want to let you know. So if I am the Mata Hari in 2 days, we know how to pull me off of the roof. So it was a really, really, really tough month. And I think that the tough month was, Jackie, how easy, for me at least, how easy a very, very small trigger
right.
can create that particular type of reaction.
Yeah. And I did something different. In August, I set myself some impossible goals.
Mm-hmm.
I put everything due. Here's what I do, and this was a big aha for myself to watch it in action, to watch myself manifest some things and use some coping mechanisms. I overcommit.
Mm-hmm.
I like to, when things are not going the way I want them to go, I start instituting change
mm-hmm.
rather than big sweeping change, not even little changes, just big sweeping changes to distract myself, to more than distract myself, to absolve myself
mm-hmm.
of liability, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
I really will overcommit to feed my ego that says, look at how amazing you are, or it's all really too hard. It's a built-in excuse. It's a built-in excuse for when it doesn't work, and then on the flip side, it's a built-in excuse for and praise, personal praise for myself when it does. So I absolutely set myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. It's not easy being me, okay? but I was in the middle of this crisis, and that's why August is not going too well. So Keep It Magic, the website got redone. But more than that, the DIY Akashic Wisdom book launch, all that had to be planned and instituted. We had new designs of newsletters. CoventryCreations.com was being redone.
Revamping the radio show.
Redoing the radio show. You notice we still have season 2 opener going on. It's okay. I had to give a few things
yeah.
up. Redoing production techniques at Coventry, different staff, new staff, all these, you know, everything. And then my daughter having personal needs on top of it. And you know what really stunk throughout all this stuff? Is that my daughter was about to become last on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was having my own personal meltdown with all this and setting impossible goals for employees and myself, and I sat down with my husband and I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to, it's not to do anything. I just don't want to go through this process anymore, and I'm not feeling grateful for anything, and I'm hating everyone, and I'm having a meltdown. And I, you know what, I had such a good meltdown. This was a good one. That a couple of days before my birthday, there was a miscommunication between my husband and I.
Uh-huh.
And I thought we were going to have my birthday celebration. And he didn't think it was happening. So when he got home, I was sitting in the backyard with a six-pack of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, my God.
And so I had opened up one, and I was like 3 sips into it. It was like this. It wasn't all drunk, but I was so mad at him, I was pitching him at him. Full ones. But my aim is so bad that they were just kind of going, meow, and just kind of falling at my feet, which made me even madder.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious.
So it's really, you know, and I'm here I am in August needing to write about gratitude for the September newsletters for Coventry Creations and for the Ask Jackie blog, and I'm not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
At all. I can't get into that gratitude feel. I'm reading books. I'm reading other people's blogs. And finally, what did I do? I called you. And I said, I'm not feeling it. And we were talking it through. And what I realized in that moment is I need to write about what to do when you don't feel gratitude. And that is what my lesson was. That's part of, this is part of taking a plague and turning it into a blessing.
Yes.
And we talked about that last show. But I really needed to not feel gratitude, to feel lost, to feel completely disconnected from the divine, to understand how to communicate and how to write about getting back to there. And I was done. I was done with everything. I was done with all the stress. I was done with with all this stuff and with all other people's agendas and everybody wanting something from me and other people having issues and running my life at 150%, I learned a big lesson there. I don't want to run my life even at 100%. Because when you're running at 100%, you have nothing left to give when you need to give a little more. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm like, oh, I need to throttle this back. I need to slow it down so that when my daughter calls me from marching band camp in total crisis, I have it in me to go up there and be her mom without having to have a meltdown first to make room to go up and be mom. And she needed me. She sprained both ankles, and she kept marching. And I'm like, oh, time for mom to come in and say, okay, this is beyond whining, which is my job. It's okay. There's no one to blame. There's no one to be mad at. It's just the appropriate action. And it was really interesting. It was another interesting lesson in gratitude, because sometimes you think you can only get gratitude when things are horrible too.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't need to make this a horrible experience. I just needed to make it an appropriate experience, because other people were saying, "Oh my God, how come they had her continue to march even though she hurt?" And I said, "They got 105 kids in 85 to 90 degree weather, and they're all whining."
Mm-hmm.
So how much seriousness do you think they're going to put into whining? So that's when mom comes up and says, "Oh, that's beyond whining." So that was, so I really am looking at gratitude from the other side of it,
mm-hmm.
Which we all have. So it made me really want to define, because, you know, I like to define things, really, what is gratitude?
Yeah.
So Storm, what's gratitude? What's the definition here?
For me, gratitude is basically being grateful for the simple things in our lives. You know, the ability to get up in the morning and have the luxury of being able to move one's limbs to change their clothes. The ability to have a toothbrush and toothpaste and soap and the ability to clean and the ability mm-hmm. to go into my office and work and the ability to have the equipment that I need in order to get my particular work done and the luxury, which sounds strange in the United States, but the luxury of having food.
Okay.
You know, electricity, all of the simple things I think that we don't really think about on a day-to-day basis. When I need to get into gratitude, I need to go to that basic level.
Okay. So Webster defines gratitude to be, and I put air quotes because we're on the radio, the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what's grateful defined as? So grateful is defined as being appreciative of benefits received or affording pleasure or contentment.
Mm-hmm.
So grateful is going, oh, life is good, and thanks for making it good. So looking at those definitions and even looking at your definitions, it makes gratitude look like it's an emotional response to external actions or external things,
mm-hmm.
right? So that leaves gratitude as something that doesn't originate from the self.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the middle of a big pile of poo, when you're just in crisis, it's really hard to get there, isn't it? Because your external experience is not good.
Yeah.
So what if we flip that? What if we could turn the tables on gratitude and move it from being an adjective that's an external experience into a verb that's an internal process?
Good luck on that one.
But I think we can. I think we can. But, okay, so let's look at love.
Okay.
So love, being in love, or I love something, is an adjective, right?
Yes.
Then there's acting in a loving way.
Yes.
And so what are we taught when we're taught about love by healthy people is that we need to be loving. A lot of spiritual teachers and philosophers have been saying for decades now that turn love into a verb rather than an adjective.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that love is a noun.
True.
You know, because especially, you know, when you look at issues such as like codependency or love addiction or something of that nature, oftentimes what it is that the person thinks is love
mm-hmm.
Is really akin more to the word possession, meaning that what it is that they love is the illusion of the particular person.
True, very true.
And, you know, what it is that they love is just being with that individual. It's not necessarily that they love the individual in an action sort of way or as a verb.
Being in love with
yeah.
love. Where love as a verb is I'm going to do loving things.
Yes.
I am going to behave in loving ways. And that actually grows love. That creates more love.
Yes.
And you know, spiritual teachers from any path talk about that. Being the source of love or being the source of what you want.
Yes.
And so, and that's really hard to get to when you don't feel it.
Well, I think that the difficulty is a lot of that in, with a lot of these words, Jackie. For example, in Greek, there are four words for love.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And in English, we have one.
Yes. Yeah, so we have to understand what kind of love we're talking about.
Yes.
But yet, let's flip this back to gratitude.
Sure.
Gratitude can become a noun, too. Gratitude can become that thing that says, I desire it.
This is going to make me happy, yeah.
This is a desire. This is a want. This is a need to fulfill for the self alone.
Yes.
Gratitude can quickly get turned around into that and thinking that if I'm just grateful for it, I'll get more of it. I'm grateful for my Mercedes. I'm grateful for, you know, the $1,000 I have in the bank to spend on whatever I want.
Yeah.
So that's that gratitude to receive for the self alone. But when you flip it into a verb to act grateful, there's a term in the business world, and it's really fascinating because it's actually a very spiritual term, which is what you focus on grows.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a business development class, and that was the theme of the class. And I'm going, huh, that like kind of smacks with the phrase that I have on just about every email that goes out that says something I said a long time ago, the seeds of magic are found in your imagination and planted in your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
What you focus on grows. Real similar. And I just started laughing. I said, okay, how are these business guys, how are these suits going to interpret this here? And when I Googled that phrase, it was in life coaches, business development. That was the first, like, 50 NLP
mm-hmm.
practitioners, what you focus on grows. And I went, you know what, that's gratitude. That is, those two phrases are the representation of gratitude, because what are you focusing on? That's how you turn gratitude into a verb, is what you focus on. And I got to tell you, in August, I was focusing on a lot of crap. I was focusing on the why me, poor me, I'm the only one who works this hard, you know.
What about me? What about me?
Why
what about
is everyone
me?
Else so stupid? and you know, come on, let's get real. We all have those moments.
Yeah.
And we all have, you know, forgive my language, you know, I swear like a sailor, the crap-ass attitude. And when you focus on that, when you focus on everyone around you is stupid, or all this stuff doesn't work, nothing ever works, it's going to fall apart any second now, what you focus on grows.
Yeah.
So when you try and become grateful, all right, I got to find my gratitude for the shitty situation. What you focus on grows. You just decided to focus on that part. And when I stopped for a minute and I said, okay, what is my blessing within all of this? It's going to be hard to find. Let's start digging. Let's get the waders on. It's under there somewhere. And you don't, I think that people think that gratitude is an instant get-out-of-jail-free card. That, oh, I'm going to find my gratitude for this. Let's just find our gratitude for this. It becomes this new age catchphrase that says, well, if we just find our gratitude for this, everybody will come into blessing. Well, gratitude is not a magic pill. I don't know. Do you have you ever found that? Have you ever found that you can say, well, let's just find our gratitude here?
No.
Does that just kind of breed resentment a little bit?
Especially when you're in the middle of a self-created plague.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that oftentimes, it doesn't promote basically, an underbelly of healing.
No, it doesn't. So where you can get, how you can get through that is through little 10% shifts.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just 10%.
Now, for example, if the person has been in that, self-created place for 5 years.
You need a little more.
The formula may need to be: you need to get down and be grateful for being able to move.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's because I think we get what we focus on, and
mm-hmm.
what. Okay, so let's go with this phrase a little bit more. What you focus on grows. So. I started thinking about that phrase, the seeds of magic are found in your imagination and planted in your deeds.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using it for so long that I've almost forgotten what it means. After a while, you just say, like, what does that even mean?
Well, that's like, you know, using the same spell over and over. It just becomes rote after a while.
So then I started playing with the word imagination. What am I imagining? Because we do it. Don't we do it all the time? We just spend a lot of time imagining. And we imagine these fantastic fantasy outcomes of, okay, now everyone's going to behave and everyone's going to be perfect. So we start to fantasize about that. And then eventually we fantasize the other direction.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to... So we can... It's kind of... I had to tune into that. In my struggle in August, I really had to say, okay, what am I imagining? And there's things that are reality, don't get me wrong. But then I was pulling that reality to a grander and grander place. And I noticed many people doing that. And through August into September, early September, many people were doing that. And I was watching that. I was wondering why that was. And I thought to myself, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And I found underneath all of it is people were not fulfilling their own goals and agendas.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? This is the first time we've really played with that and talked about the repercussions of all this.
I think that there's a lot of merit in regards to what it is that you're saying. I think that a lot of, people, the moment that they start to get into their own agendas, okay, and it becomes their, the way that they begin to start viewing things through life,
mm-hmm.
I think that oftentimes, we get so caught up in that drive and that determination, okay, that we begin to forget about the process that put us there.
Uh-huh. We get very self-centered and egocentric and focused only on our own needs.
Objective, yeah.
So would you say gratitude is the antithesis of that? Gratitude is the flip side? So gratitude is when you let your own needs go?
Yes. And the thing here is with the word with gratitude, it also is a powerful spiritual term. Because if you let go of something, okay, the reason that you let go of something is that you trust in some way that that this is the circumstance in which one is going to be provided for, or one is going to be taken care of, or circumstances are going to work out the way that they need to work out. It's such a multifaceted word. I'm so glad that you decided to bring this up.
It is, because there's so many things that I hear all the time. It really, even I brought some up to you, and you're like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
So what does it even mean to let go of something? What does it mean to hold the space?
I have no clue what that word means. I mean, I hear it in metaphysical circles all the time, but I really have no clue what it means.
Holding the space of something?
Yeah.
Once you said that to me, I went, what does that mean? And I asked around, so what does that mean for you? I asked Patty, and what does holding the space mean? That you continue to vibrate in a certain way, to invite in, I should say, invite in a certain type of vibration,
mm-hmm.
that while you are fussing and fighting and having a freak out about something, that vibration maintains, that energy space maintains that vibration.
But how does one do that?
Now, that's a great question. I think this is where magic comes in. Kind of bringing everything full circle, how to feel gratitude when you don't feel anything to feel grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing the work with the archangels, thank you for opening up that door for me. That was an interesting experience. One of the messages that I got from them in writing that archangel class just a long time ago, which we had a show on that
mm-hmm.
a while ago. So if you're interested, you can look in the archives. So one of the messages that came to me with is that, because I was feeling really challenged, why do we even need tools anymore if the archangels can, we just call on the archangels by name and they come fix us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things they said to me was that we have free will. So we can call in a certain vibration or call in some healing or call in these archangels, and archangels are all about magic. So we call in a certain type of magic into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's prosperity. And then that magic comes in, and we surround ourselves with it. But then our own inner satan or our own inner fears or personal blocks comes up, our ego comes up and says, no, I'm not going to vibrate to that. I'm not going to invite that into my life. So free will throws it away. So our free will just pushes it out of the way and says, nope, I'm not going to do that. And that's when your magic or your spell work starts to fail, is because your free will came in and said, oh, hell no, I'm not having any of this. We're not healing this. Because to me, magic is a healing process. Now, when you bring archangels, sigils, or magical tools that you've charged up while you are in a moment of gratitude, while you're in that moment of magic and you can really feel it, and so you charge that up and dedicate those tools for that purpose, you bring them into play. So you use that prosperity candle or Archangel Haniel sigil or whatever it is you're going to use, and then start inviting in that vibration of prosperity into your life, your ego comes up, your fears come up, your inner satan comes up, and it says, I don't want this. And what these tools do is they hold that vibration in place while you squirm around in the middle of it and fuss and fight it, and then finally release that thing that blocks you from fully experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they hold that vibration of healing that you're looking for in place while you heal, so you don't give up on it.
The interesting thing is that I just at this moment went to my favorite spirit guide, Google, and I typed in what is meant by holding space. And the first thing that pops up, Jackie, is the web definition. The act of actively doing nothing. and then basically, you know, that there are several blogs on this. And basically, as I'm scanning down this, it says here, I'm reading on mindbodygreen.com, it means when somebody is going through something, you hold down the ground for them to have their own time and space to work out whatever they're going through. And
yes.
You provide stable, solid ground for them to be completely where they're at without judgment, criticism, or blame, a neutral territory for the other to just be. You have faith in their intelligence to figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
I think holding space, Jackie, is incredibly difficult.
Yes, it is. It is incredibly difficult. You have to be really detached.
Yeah.
And very unemotional to hold space throughout all that. That's why it's easier. You know, in front of me, God, I love the way the divine works. So without getting too sappy, when I was working with the archangels, I had this like little notebook in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I pulled it out and I scribbled down a couple things that they said. And it just so happens I pulled that out like 2 weeks ago, and it's been sitting by my monitor. And I just thought, oh, that quote's in here. So this is what they told me. When you use tools and infuse them with archangel or magical energy, they will hold the vibration for you and maintain it while you work through the issues. When you call them to you, they stay as long as when you only just call the archangels to you without having tools in place, they only stay as long as you let them.
Yeah.
And then your free will kicks them out. So using, you know, bringing this kind of full circle back to what we're talking about, gratitude is the same way. It's only there for as long as you let it.
Yeah.
And it's by actively being grateful that you then start to build your magical cash.
Yes.
So just imagine how much power there is in that moment where you are not feeling gratitude. Isn't that a really powerful moment?
Yes, it is, absolutely.
It is a really powerful moment, and your imagination is really, really powerful at that point. It's being fueled by your ego. It's being fueled by the Satan. It's being fueled by your fears. All those things it's being fueled by. What it's not being fueled by is the most important thing, which is divine, your divine allies,
mm-hmm.
the light. So there's a lot of abundance in this negative magic. But imagine what would happen if you could capture all that and redefine it.
Well, I think that part of this, Jackie, goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, in which, you know, I stated that the self-created place or gifts,
mm-hmm.
Of self-created plagues is to help bring us back to a spiritual center. And I think one of the paths of least resistance in regards to getting us back into gratitude, okay, may really be, no matter what it is that we're going through, realizing that this is a blessing that has been provided to us from the light to move us from point A to point B based upon whatever our intentions happen to be at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. Because gratitude doesn't make the issue go away.
Yes. And that if we're having a problem situation or a struggle, it means that we are on some level disconnected from the light. And the reason that we have that circumstance is to propel us back to our connection to the light.
Absolutely. So how do you get there?
Hopefully with a long yardstick.
Oh, that was the best kickle I've had all year. I think one of the things,
And sometime with a blind man walking, you know.
Yeah. I think we get so caught up in the drama of the moment,
mm-hmm.
in being upset, in being mad. You know, when I was mad at my husband that one evening, I thought he was going to be home at 8, and we were going to go out. By 8:30, in 30 minutes, I was in such a tizzy that I was driving around town not knowing what to do with myself.
Oh, my God.
Granted, my daughter had friends over, so I just couldn't be in a tizzy in my own living room, so I had to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Driving around town means, you know, probably about 8 blocks.
And I'm sure that the moment that you left the house, your daughter was telling her friends, she's in a tizzy.
No, I kept that shit to myself. I really
okay.
did. I really did keep it to myself.
Well, we all think that we do.
Yeah, we all think that we do. And so I'm driving around town, and so within, I think another 15 minutes went by. So within 45 minutes, I was in such a state. Isn't that easy to do? I know I'm not the only one who does this. I've seen it happen. You go from 0 to 60, and all of a sudden you've decided, your imagination has gone wild with you, and you are planting those seeds of discontent everywhere, and everything is going to piss you off. It doesn't matter. They could be on their knees in front of you begging forgiveness. And you can, and you have a decision. Are you going to stay in that place of anger and discontent with no connection to the light at all? Or are you going to start to let it go? And that's a hard decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to let it go because that feels good. Your adrenaline's up. You've got a rush going on. And you got to at some point let it go. So I have a couple of things that are in my toolbox to get into that place to let it go.
It's called a Klonopin.
Yeah, it's your toolbox. It's a small toolbox. It's round. It shakes like a rattle. Anyway. So a couple of things that are in my toolbox to get a breath in when I can't feel the gratitude, when I'm just stuck in that downward spiral, is have a cup of tea. And it's specifically Earl Grey tea because it has bergamot in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helps release that anger and get you into a place, maybe not of happiness, but of less angry. It's because it has antioxidant, so it clears the toxins.
Yeah.
So if you just sip slowly, and it doesn't even have to be a hot cup of tea, but sip slowly on a cup of tea, it starts to release those energetic toxins.
Definitely.
I also take a long shower. And you know what you can do in the shower? You can cry.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows. Because there's water all over you. You can't tell. So have a good cry in the shower and just let it go. You can put a rock on it. Hematite, obsidian, Apache tears, jet. There's a couple other ones. They'll soak up that abundance of self-pity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, angelite, blue lace agate, labradorite, opalite, rose quartz. They help you amp up the light and gratitude in your life. So you might need to, you know, jettison that out. Just really get all that out before you bring in the light. But if you can't jettison it out, just start bringing in the light, and the light will jettison it out. Also, when you are really in a crisis, you're filled with fight or flight hormone in your body, literally. And so you might need to work it out. You might need to punch a bag, go for a walk, run, sweat, as much as you don't want to. take a long walk, walk fast, go dancing. All by yourself. You'd be the freak on the dance floor. It's okay. Sweat it out. Essential oils help. And just so you know, doing aromatherapy, it's not one sniff and you're good. It's releasing it continuously over time. Cypress, essential, citrus oils, frankincense, peppermint, palmarosa. Those help flip your mood. And then, of course, you know, flame on. Light a candle. Evil Eye, Van Van, Happy Home. That's to start to lift the oppression.
Yeah.
So whatever's in your toolbox, it might be that you, you know, talk to your friend Betty, or it might be that you play with your dog, or whatever it is that you can get yourself out of that situation and start changing that. Because it's creating that toolbox beforehand too. You can't create the toolbox in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So that helps. That find, you know, and it's not even about finding gratitude in that moment. It's about getting out of your own imagination and getting that inner demon, that inner Satan, to shut the hell up. So what are some of the things that you have taken your clients through when they're in crisis and they are, so they don't open the bag of ruffles?
most of it, Jackie, is just accepting the situation as what it is at the moment, I think is a valuable tool of healing. Many, of course, most of my clients are going through difficulties of not being grateful because they're not getting what they want out of their relationships. With many of them, there's certain states, Jackie, that no matter what it is that you attempt to do to help them, it isn't going to be effective because they're not in the particular headspace at that particular time to deal with the situation. And really what they need you for is to vent and to let them know whether it will or will not work in the future.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at something intuitively or astrologically and I see that there is the potential for something to work in the future, immediately what I do is I start to look a little bit deeper at what the problems are actually, what they are. And I may do that either with... in astrology, looking at the prior aspects to the significator, which is whatever planet's ruling them, or with tarot, I may do a why is that spread, or work with them in regards to trying to get to the core or the seed level of the particular issue. A lot of times that can help to start to drive them down the right path. And also I usually give every single client that I have some form of an action step. One of the things in, like, for example, in my tarot spreads, I always have a card that is the action that one should take. And I also have an advice card basically from their particular guidance. For example, if I just draw a card, which I just did, and the card that I pulled up was the Two of Wands for them, and it is an action, okay? Basically, I would look at, you need to look at your options at this particular point, okay? Is this the only avenue that you have? Is this, the only relationship interest that you have? If I say on the relationship thing, and start to get them to look outside of that particular box. A lot of the problem is that people look in that little itty-bitty tiny box of the moment and tend to not look at the big picture. So it's trying to divert them out of their particular circumstance in whatever it is that they're going through and getting them to think a little bit larger at any given particular time. There's certain techniques, dialectical behavioral therapy, which is used for borderlines, with people with borderline personality disorder. One of the things that they recommend, Jackie, is a lot of self-soothing. So that is that attempting to calm oneself down so that one can begin to look at things rationally rather than looking at things emotionally. And those are just some of the things that I use. For the most part, it really depends upon the constitution of the client. You can't really go to somebody that has 47 planets in Earth and say, you really need to self-soothe.
Right.
They might punch you in the face.
Well, so it sounds like, depending on who you are, and of course, if you have more knowledge about your own astrological chart,
yeah,
understanding how you work through your crisis, And is it, do you have to talk to somebody, or do you self-soothe, or do you take action, or what it is you do? And, I think that really speaks to when things are going good,
mm-hmm,
we tend to ignore our spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in those times when things are going good that our spiritual health needs the most attention so we can build that toolbox.
Uh-huh.
That's when we start really feeding into that that gratitude.
Yeah.
That's when we really figure out what that gratitude is all about. Because we can't find it when we don't know what it means and what it is.
Exactly. And the other thing that I might do, Jackie, you know, if I knew where their moon is in their horoscope, okay, and we did a series last season on needs.
Yes.
If I know where their moon is, okay, I might attempt them to get to work in that particular capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, for you, example, your moon is in Libra, okay? You need balance. You need to bring everything back to the center before that you can begin to go outward again. So that would be basically, you know, how I would help you get to that particular core place again.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's that, you know, the Andrea Vitamus, who has a Chaos Magic book, he and I sat around convocation one day, and we were talking about getting your divine allies in place before crisis happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really great conversation because people think that your spell starts the minute your crisis begins.
Mm-hmm.
Your magic doesn't start there. Your magic starts way before that crisis ever happened. Your magic starts with the actions that you took that started this crisis, honestly.
Yeah.
But your magic starts by building your spiritual practice. And so many of the folks that I talk to forget about that. And that's half the, sometimes that's part of the session, the Akashic Records session that I have with them, is that what we're doing is we're helping them align with their spiritual allies, their divine allies.
Mm-hmm.
Getting them in touch with the light, getting them reconnected. And, you know, as simple as this sounds, but a lot of times these crises, these things that are driving you to distraction that you need to find some gratitude to get over, they abate the minute you reconnect with the divine, reconnect with the light.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, and we don't want it to be so. It's just like people who people like me who have food and exercise issues, we don't want the fact that if you move more and eat less, conquer some of your health issues. We don't want that to be true. When you're pissed off at God, you don't want the fact that if you reconnect with the divine, you'll be less pissed off. When when you're in the middle of approval addiction, you don't want the fact that you need to get in touch with who you are and your own self to be true. And that's where the gratitude becomes. That's where the gratitude fits in. And so that's why it can feel so elusive. And you can trick yourself into thinking that gratitude is about setting an intention and doing magic spells to bring that thing to that fulfills the need for the self alone. But creating grateful actions is creating a healthy relationship with the light. And acting in a grateful way, which is, and it's kind of weird, but it's kind of like giving it away. Gratitude is built by sharing with others.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't mean you're taking all your change out of your pocket and giving it to the homeless guy at the end of the freeway entrance. It's about being thankful for every moment of every day. And I know I cannot maintain that. I don't expect anyone to maintain that, my goal is to get back to that place.
Yeah.
And thank God for this radio show because it reminds me of that. Seriously. Seriously. So I gave myself, at the end of August, I gave myself a 30-day focus challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it. It's not perfect, but I have it up by my monitor because that's where I spend most of my time is at my computer. But I also have it at home, and I've told a few people, and so we talk about it. And the 30-day focus challenge is that what area of my life that I want to grow or what issues do I want to heal? What behavior do I want to change?
Mm-hmm.
I want to build that spiritual muscle, so I'm focusing on it.
So what muscle are you building?
The muscle that I'm building is taking care of myself.
Okay.
So what I do is I push myself into a tizzy to where I'm having meltdowns, and then I can prove that nobody likes me and nobody, that I am last in everyone else's list and I put myself first, I put them first on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catch-22. It's a bad, bad scene. Mm-hmm. But it validates...
I lived that for 40 years, I know.
But you know what it validates?
What?
It validates my need to stuff myself. It validates that need of sugar. It validates that need of self-soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? I don't like to admit these things, but I do, because this is Keep It Magic, and we keep it real and keep it...
Hey, it's difficult for me to say, you know what, I'm addicted to people. I love them.
So it really, that's one of the things that I'm focusing on with my 30-day focus challenges is, all right, I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the fact that I did something to take care of myself today. I'm going to focus, earlier this month was, we're in a crunch time. It's September. It's busy time. Lots of stuff going on. And you know what always happens the minute crunch time happens? Somebody's life goes upside down and we're short-staffed.
Uh-huh.
Every year, I can kind of guarantee it. So this year we prepped for it a little bit. Not enough, but a little bit. And so I was in a self-sabotaging mood. Oh, my God, it's up to me to work late and get all the stuff done. And I went, enough. Stop. Go home. These candles will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
No one's going to die between now and tomorrow morning if I don't do this. And I actually have a friend's birthday party I want to go to. And so I focused on that. I focused on that positive. I'm going to go celebrate somebody's life with them.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to turn, and I'm not going to stress about it. So that's the kind of focusing I'm doing. There is one other thing, of course, I'm focusing on, which is the DIY Akashic Wisdom book and the book launch.
Oh, talk to me about that.
So if you haven't heard about it yet, because I'm talking about it every 3 seconds of my life, Patty Shaw, my sister and business partner, and I wrote DIY, Do-It-Yourself, Akashic Wisdom, Access the Library of Your Soul. And it October 1st it comes out. And it'll be out, so you can pre-order on Amazon right now, a Kindle version and paper version. And so we're doing a big launch on October 1st, so we're doing a big build to that. So we have a website, we have a Facebook, we have a newsletter, we have free gifts, the whole shoot and match.
Uh-huh.
So that's been my focus, but it's not just focusing on, oh, my God, I got to do more work on it. It's been focusing on, oh, I forgot about that part of the book. That's a good part of the book. Or, oh, here's a quote I like. So it's focusing on the positive and celebrating it. And the celebrating, it's a big piece of work that Patty and I did.
Yeah.
It's a really good book. I'm proud of it. And it's about how to give yourself permission to work with your own Akashic records and how straightforward and easy it is. So, which is, the website is, by the way, DIYAkashicWisdom.com. but those are my two focuses. One's business, one's personal, and next month it's going to be one because I am an overachiever.
Yeah.
So I'm working on turning my fears into my strengths. And that's my focus on that. It's like, oh, yep, there's another fear. I gotcha. And celebrating the fact that I can see it and experience it and say, okay, what's the message that you're giving me on that? And that's, I talk about that a lot in the Akashic Wisdom book, but it's a big thing. It's a big thing to say, to look your fear straight in the face and say, what's your message for me?
Uh-huh.
That's where gratitude lies. So what do you think about that focus, 30-day focus challenge?
I think it's interesting.
So, you know, it's the positive. It's focusing on that positive.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
I like it. So you, my friend, I have to give you kudos.
For what?
Astro 101.
Oh, I love Astro 101.
I really like it. It really, you know what I think about astrology a lot. You've heard me say this on the show. That's a lot of numbers and planets and things to memorize.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it easy.
And I really, you're hitting it. You're really hitting it out of the park with Astro 101, and I love the way you write.
That is very, very shocking to me. It is, you know, out of all of the things that I can do, and I can do, you know, calculus, too. I can, you know pretty much
you can do
have
astrology.
A world grasp of history. I can do astrology. You know, I can do all of those things. For me, writing, Jackie, is like a blind person playing the piano.
No, it's not. I'm going to argue that with you because you're really good. You don't have extra fluff. You get right to the point.
That's years of practice.
You make me smile, and there's nothing to sneeze at with that. You absolutely make me smile with when I read your stuff and like, oh yeah, I can do this. It makes it really approachable and easy.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that the people are loving is my tutorial on how to read a computerized astrology sheet.
I love that because we've been going through that for the past couple of years on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm learning long division of astrology through you.
But you know, the goal of Astro 101 is that no matter what level of astrological knowledge that you have, okay, you can go in and get some in-depth meaning, basically, in regards to your life. I'm not going to put up any fluff. I'm not going to do, you know, the sun in Virgo, you know, it means that you're nitpicky and a perfectionist and, you know, you overanalyze details. I'm going to go in and explain why.
I like that. And I do, I know you talk about how you're not a writer or writing comes difficult for you, and I get it because that was the same way I failed English, just by the hair on my chinny-chin-chin, like a D+.
I didn't fail English. I did get an A in English. I just bled my way through it.
Oh, well, I didn't. So maybe it was C-. So I had no idea of sentence structure. There was too much. I just wanted to talk it out. There's too much work with writing. Just listen to me talk.
Yeah.
But then as a business owner, I had to, and wanting to market and wanting to communicate to people, I had to learn that. So you've done a great job. And just so you know, both Storm and I kind of were terrified of writing when we first started writing it.
Yeah.
and I think that's a good thing because neither one of us put fluff in our work.
No.
We bring in humor. We need make it real life, da-da-da. I cannot read it when things get too intellectual and over my head and too many big words. I'm like, oh, what are you even saying? Do you know what you're saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's why I appreciate your work.
Yeah. So it's cool. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun putting it together, and you know, it's all written. It's just the, you know, the posting it out. That I do at this point. And oftentimes, you know, even when I'm, for example, I'm putting up some stuff in regards to the planets this week. And one of the things that I did, Jackie, is that even I wrote it like 4 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going back over it going, you know what, I really want to change the sentence structure.
Stop it. Stop fussing with it. I love that. I love that you finish it all before you get into it. Me,
yeah.
I go, hey, this is a good idea, and I just jump into it with both feet and then get halfway through and going, oh, my God, what did I do?
Yeah.
but so that's why we're a really great team.
I'm almost done with my second product, which is going to be called Making Love Work.
I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to be a powerful tool. And so in case you're wondering where to get the stuff that we're talking about, you can go to stormsestevani.com, but you can always go to keepitmagic.com and find the link to Storm there because we say Keep It Magic enough on this show.
Yeah.
So we both have some good sites. You're not going to find me on jackiesmith.com because there's way too many of us. You can find me on askjackie.com, and it should be by the end of this month, antjackie.com.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, changing that up. So we're at the end of our podcast here.
Nice.
And so, hey, we loved having you. We loved having all of our listeners here with us. And I know you want to continue with the conversation. So visit us on keepitmagic.com. We've got some articles there. Visit us on Facebook on keepinitmagic.com. We've got a place for you to send questions to us, subjects you want us to talk about on the show. We want to hear from you on that. And if you have something really great to say about us, feel free to post it on our Facebook, and we'll tweet it out for you.
Yeah.
So what do they need to do, Storm?
They need to keep it magic.
All right. Everybody, speak life. Someday.
feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable.